Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously, and back after round three of the Heineken Cup. Still feels great saying that. The Heineken Cup, the top flight of domestic club rugby in the Northern Hemisphere, and we're going to digest it all from the rugby dungeon. I'm Tim, with JB in his pyjamas.
Yes, hello, Tim. And you know, I've been in my pyjamas all day.
Oh, it's one of them.
It is. I started drinking on Friday. I stopped last night and I have, well, let's face it, I'm pretty hungover.
Were you drinking, though, in a Christmas jumper?
Obviously.
Good, glad to hear that.
Right, there is a bit of snobbery at the moment, isn't there, about Christmas jumper drinking. People are taking Twitter saying, oh, it's, you once a year drinkers and your Christmas jumper's been so zany. No, it's good fun. I won't have it.
And why not?
Exactly right, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
You'll never guess where I went last night, though.
Manchester.
No. Did you see the video that I sent?
I saw the video that you sent at 2:45 this morning.
So where could you have gone at 2:45 this morning? Not in Manchester.
Not Manchester, no.
Oh, that was Phil, by the way. Hi.
Hello.
Go on.
This is unbelievable. I'm actually embarrassed. I'm going to say this. So I went to my boss's house. My boss.
That wasn't your boss's house in the video, though.
No, it wasn't. My boss's house from Pearson Solicitors. And then afterwards, I don't know why I just plugged the name now, because this is shameful. On the way back, right, we went through Oldham. And I was getting a lift, and I had to get dropped off in Oldham to get a taxi. And I thought, do you know what? Just one more beer. And the only place open was Liquid and Envy Nightclub in Oldham. £5 in, but what a bargain that turned out to be. Because
which rugby league players were there?
No. Even better. Bass Hunter, live. I could not believe it.
What was the last gig you went to?
God, I've never been to one in my life.
R. Kelly?
R. Kelly in South Africa. Yeah. I won some tickets for that.
Wow.
It was... I've never seen anything like it. I think he's Dutch or something.
Is he Swedish or...?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And I think he's in the stage of his career where he's just going around provincial nightclubs, hoovering up some cash. And it was just weird. He doesn't do anything. He just stands on the stage and says, I'm going to have a beer! And everyone goes, yeah! And he stands on the stage, has a beer. And then they've got these two... It's like so tin-pot. They have these two bouncers who... basically had huge party poppers, but they've got to manually pull the party poppers. I mean, high-level pyrotechnics.
Were they health and safety-approved party poppers?
They wouldn't have been allowed in Bath Rugby, if that's what you're asking.
That is what I'm asking.
So, yeah, last night, Bass Hunter.
Wow.
So
Bass Hunter and R. Kelly is... it's a veritable who's who. That's the bucket list everyone wants.
And actually, I looked awful with my flip-flops. Everyone's got like leather jackets on. It was...
flip-flops and a Stade Francais shirt.
Stade Francais shirt, tight little cotton...
strong look.
Yeah. Well, R. Kelly literally did a double take.
I was 50-50 about the South Africa Lions series, but if that's the sort of... escapades, what you can get into.
South Africa's by far the best.
I'm on.
Yeah, I think South Africa's by far the best touring country out of those three.
Having only done South Africa, you are informed to say that.
100%.
Yes.
Well, on this podcast, let me just give some headlines of things we're going to talk about. The England head coach position has had some people talking about it. We just touched on it there. Bath Rugby's stringent health and safety regulations. Ring fencing, the Premiership again has reared its head.
Yeah, every kind of 12 to 18 months, it just there seems to be something that sparks that debate again.
Yeah, I would ask, look at the clubs which are struggling. Because if one of the big clubs is really struggling with a bit of weight behind it, maybe this ring fencing idea will gather a bit of steam.
Well, let's quickly tick this, chalk this one off then. Let's chalk off the ring fencing then. So it's been brought up, yeah. And we were talking last weekend about how exciting it is that there's only five or six points between fourth and 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sixth to 12th, there is four points between them. And then Quins and Wasps and Gloucester are slightly further ahead.
So there was a lot of people joking, oh, I wonder how long it's going to be till they start talking about ring fencing. Well, a day is the answer to that one. We don't need to go into any great depth on it, but I thought it was good to hear Nigel Melville at the RFU now coming in and saying, no, this is not how it's done. If it's going to be done, this is not how it's done. It will not be done for the start of next season. And we need to look at it properly if it's something that is a possibility for the future. But he's very wary of doing it for the effect it will have on the structure of the game as a whole. Mm. Equally, he was saying that there are way more professional rugby players. There's 1,200 professional rugby players in England. And he said, think how many resources that is that's going out of the game to players, to agents and all the rest of it. Whereas actually he does think there's an element of a less is more.
Sorry, what was he saying? That there's too many professionals?
Oh no, maybe it wasn't Nigel Melville saying this. I might have crossed wires. Anyway, Nigel Melville came out and said it won't be done next season.
Yeah.
So he was stating facts and saying he believes, broadly speaking, that less is more.
Yeah. Well,
and was he sort of saying if you were to do ring fencing, then the possibility of a properly geographically spread 16-team two conference competition might be. I might be crossing wires about who's actually said this, but that's.
Yeah, but this is a general gist of the conversation, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. It's an interesting point about the amount of professionals, because he might be right. There might be too many professionals. I remember in the early days, Wales had the most professional players in the world, allegedly, because they were contracting people up in, say, Bangor, who would be like the fourth, potentially, you know, the fifth choice tight head prop for the Blues should the apocalypse happen down south. So, like, you know, you can spread your resources far, far too thinly. So I don't disagree with that. I'm open to ring fencing. If they want to do it, I'm sure it'll be fine. If they don't want to do it, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm open to it. The concern would be if you get a situation that you eliminate the opportunity for anyone to do an Exeter.
Unless you franchise it and you say, well, look, you know, we're big enough, we've got the resources, we've built a stadium, and we spent £4 million plus the rest on salaries. Can we play now? And the answer is, yeah, sure, why not? There is a problem this year with the uncertainty regarding who's going to go down, because there are a lot of very, very egotistical businessmen who are club owners who would not like to see their cash wasted should they go down. And I think that's probably what's going to be driving this conversation.
Well, there's a couple of facts here that we can say. The team that comes up, if they don't have Premiership shares, there are 13 teams which own shares in the Premiership. London Irish is the one currently not in the Premiership that accounts for that. And so that, as it stands, any team outside of that comes up, and this was the case when Exeter Chiefs first came up, and this is what made their survival and then rise so amazing, is that they were funded by half the amount of all the rest of the teams in the Premiership. So when London Welsh came up, they got half the amount of money that other teams did.
It's staggering, that, isn't it? To think that you would set up you've set up a league with the full knowledge that someone's going to go up or down, but the shares don't change hands?
Yes.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Apart from if it's one of those 13 that's gone down and then comes back up, like Bristol,
I think that structure has changed. I think they've redone it now.
No, they haven't.
Have they not?
Nigel Melville was saying he would like to fund any team that comes up should get equal funding.
Yeah.
Which is fair. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like a cartel. Yeah. Otherwise, isn't it?
And it's also, so one of the historic issues was you only found out if you're going to get promoted on, well, first week in June.
Yeah.
Was traditional when everyone else has already long since done their recruiting, so it was always a gamble.
But they missed out on whoever was doing the recruiting. It missed out on Piri Weepu, didn't they?
Big time. Tyson Keats.
So now that bit has been addressed, but there is still a gamble that because you really need to be doing your recruiting kind of almost the year before. Or...
Sorry, this is a tangent and you're talking about very important stuff. I just can't get the interview out of my mind when they had the five directors of rugby talking about how the season's going to pan out, and they're Justin Burnell on there. And sort of like, everyone knew that London Welsh were going down, but they had to be very, very polite to him. So it was like, oh yeah, well, I mean, would you like to play a back line which include Piri Whippu, Ollie Barkley, Tim Molnar,
What was his name? The fly half, the really old fly half. Gordon Ross.
Gordon Ross.
Yes, I would love to play them. Yes, that'd be great.
You got players well past their prime. Yeah. When they weren't, some of them weren't really that standard anyway.
I think it would be the best for the England team. It would be the best for directing resources to English qualified players rather than foreign imports at high inflated values, and I think it will ultimately happen. It is a shame. I do like the structure of English club rugby, and
I love how competitive it is right now.
The
league is so interesting. Just it feels like pretty much anyone can beat anyone else.
But we might be having the same conversation next year, and London Irish are adrift at the bottom, and we're like, this is pointless. So yeah, who knows?
The one other thing that does make me favour ring fencing is how well the kind of two-tier system has worked in the Pro 14. Mm. Having kind of almost two separate leagues within one league.
It depends what metric you use, because yes, it was exciting. You have some good games. Equally, look at the crowds.
Pro 14 does have the geographical problem anyway.
Yeah. I think I might be making this up, but haven't their crowds gone up year on year?
Honest answer is I don't know, but I suspect they will have done if you take it in aggregate, because now you've got more derby games. Yeah. So having more derby games is going to increase the average crowd.
Yeah. So anyway, that there'll be plenty of time to discuss that, I think.
Let's talk about we've discussed it for basically the last 5 years as well.
The England head coach position then.
Yes.
Again, this arrival of Nigel Melville, he seemed very open to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Very open. So he's come out and said...
Well, see, the thing with the RFU, Tim, is you're able to talk about whatever you want when you're in the RFU, but when you leave the RFU, you've got to sign secrecy agreements. So, yeah, if you want him to talk, now would be a good time. Or else you get your privileges removed to go to corporate boxes.
As long as you can still go to the corporate boxes.
Exactly.
That's a fair trade-off. So, Warren Gatland is on the England head coach shortlist.
Brilliant.
As is, and these are the people that have been mentioned by Nigel Melville himself, Stuart McCall, who has ruled himself out.
Okay.
Stuart McCall? Mark McCall.
Mark McCall. Stuart McCall, the former Everton and Glasgow Rangers midfielder.
By the way, left field midfielder selection. It might work.
Rob Baxter, who has equally said is not of interest.
He's not interested.
Nonsense.
Stuart Lancaster.
Yeah. What?
Steve Borthwick, Richard Cockerell.
Good.
We know that Andy Farrell, they missed that trick and they would have liked it. And what's the other one? I'm missing one.
Steve Diamond.
I don't think it... Well, maybe that was it. Maybe those are the only ones that were mentioned. Anyway, discuss. I'd actually quite like Gatland.
Gatland would be amazing for England. Gatland would be... staggeringly good for England. England would cruise. No, they wouldn't just win the World Cup. They'd cruise to it.
I would also like Gatland. I would be... Everyone mentioned... So I would love to have an English head coach.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone... The only person who is even close to the credentials for an English head coach, in my opinion right now, is Andy Farrell, and I wouldn't want him over Gatland.
I think that's amazing that you think that, because Andy Farrell...
He hasn't had a head coach position.
No, but he's the one, because... So I would want someone with, ideally, head coach experience, like DOR experience, and also international experience. And he's got incredible international experience, but not as a head coach. He just doesn't have the DOR.
Yeah, so there are a few things you need to balance out. Is DOR experience important, bearing in mind that running a club side is like running a club side? You've got all the eligibility things, you're selecting players, you're identifying talent, so on and so forth. Whereas actually being an international head coach, is that not more like... just coaching? Is that why Stuart Lancaster might be good at one thing, but not the other?
He wasn't a coach.
Or, yeah, that's a good point. He wasn't, was he? He was an overall team DOR type guy. So, yeah, going back to Farrell, maybe that's why he does fit an international coach. But it depends what you want.
I think one person who hasn't been mentioned, but that I think should be mentioned, is Dean Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can argue. He's won, what, 2 European Cups as head coach of Leicester.
Yeah.
Seems a long time ago, though.
It does seem a long time ago. But
he's done it.
That's almost more the point. Look what he's done with Newcastle.
And Harlequins.
I mean, obviously,
that ended badly.
That did end badly.
But, you know, he built that team back up.
Absolutely.
From the Championship. And, you know, when he was caught being naughty, they were in a semi-final or some such thing.
Yep.
So, you know, he's a good coach.
He's extremely good. Again, he's not a coach as such. He knows how to run a ship and create a team of coaches. And he's brought through Dave Walder.
Oh, was Dean Ryan mentioned on that list?
No.
He wasn't. From what I read, Dean Ryan was not mentioned.
See, because I think he probably is the next one. promoted from the inside.
That surely. So I think it's very unlikely. The only scenario in which I can see that happening is if Eddie Jones has a total meltdown. Like
last year. Like last year's Six Nations.
Even worse than last year's Six Nations.
How could it be worse than fifth in the... Well, sixth.
don't win any games.
Yeah, but how could it realistically be worse?
It's unlikely to be worse than last year's. Right. It's possible. I mean, if
it is possible.
England's first game travelled to Dublin to face Ireland, that is not going to go well.
Do you know, I kind of envy them in that way. Because if you're going to put in your big performance and get that win, I mean, they could do it. And if they do, that sets them up nicely. They won't, but they could.
But it's interesting. What does it say that Mark McCall and Rob Baxter, I mean, this is a huge job, particularly for Rob Baxter as an Englishman, but also for Mark McCall. I mean, what does it say that these guys are like, nah, I'm all right. I'm quite happy where I am.
I don't think they're taking the offer seriously. That's what I think. So it's one thing for you to be told, there's speculation that you could be the England coach. And it's another thing to say, you're going to be the England coach. If they came with a solid offer and said, you're going to be the England coach, we want you, name your price, they would both take it. But whilst there's like 6 names in the hat, there's no point in saying I want it. You don't want to be Jake White.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I think Mark McCall, so there is nothing more he can do at Saracens. As in, he's won everything multiple times. Baxter, he probably does have unfinished business at Exeter. Especially this season, as we've seen, they are pretty much out of Europe.
Yeah.
They're cooked. They're out.
Yeah.
They're done, aren't they? Completely done.
Might mathematically be possible with a load of other results going in their favour. But that is massive unfinished business for both him and for Exeter. So it wouldn't surprise me if he wouldn't want to consider it until he's done more on that front.
Yeah, well, the chat was with them that they wouldn't consider it until they'd won something. Well, they've won the Premiership now.
They have.
So maybe that'll be enough. But I think Baxter would be... He'd be ideal. Well, would he be ideal? Of all those people... I mean, he'd be fine. No one would have a problem with it. But of all those lads that you mentioned, for me, Gatland.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will probably end up being top of the list. But again, that we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that.
I would also love to see Joe Schmidt, but I know... It's very, very unlikely to happen. Gatland or Schmidt would be the two for me.
Absolutely. So, can I just add one little moan?
Yes, of course. Hang on. Is it Twitter?
It is.
Right. Please continue.
Please don't politicise my rugby. Do not politicise my rugby. People linking bloody Brexit to rugby, do one.
That's it.
Move on. That's all I want to
say.
That's
probably sensible.
On my timeline, I do not want to read about the whys and wherefores of how Brexit might affect rugby. Do one.
Yeah, I think we can't import whistles. I think that's the main concern at the moment, isn't it?
Particularly when it's written with such an unhidden agenda. Well. Don't politicise my rugby.
Yeah, I would just say maybe that is the art of good column writing to come with it, with some partiality to start with.
Partiality, I don't mind, but it's a massive It's just a lot. The beautiful thing about the rugby this weekend is getting away from bloody all the toxicity of social media.
But watch on my timeline later on this week. I'm going to do my small government 15 players that really believe in small taxation and small government. So watch out for that. It'll be fascinating.
Excellent. All right. So there we go. That's fine. So we've done ring fencing. Right. Bath are getting absolutely hammered for flag gates.
I have no idea. I guess give some people a tiny bit of power who've never had it before. I mean, I used to work at a place. It was Port Financial Advisors, Port Accountancy. And we had this one guy called Trevor. Obviously, he was called Trevor. And he was one of the senior partners. And he, once a year, would walk around trying to catch his clothes on corners and call it his snag list, so he could make a list of potentially dangerous places to walk, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the same place where I came in early, tripped over one of those, do you know those little plug things?
Like a four-way adapter type thing?
Yeah, do you know the ones that you like lift up from the floor?
Oh, okay, yeah,
floor box.
Yeah, so someone obviously left that open, tripped up, fine. I was absolutely fine. Had to write a report. So, yeah, I can see how it happens.
So, just like sometimes the trains stop because there's the wrong type of snow, you can have the wrong type of flag as well, as we've learnt.
Evidently. It allegedly failed on three health and safety criteria.
Health and safety criteria.
Including a fire risk assessment.
Yeah, there was no fire safety certificate on the Leinster Supporters Club flags that they were trying to distribute to their fans at the wreck.
Good God.
I mean, well, no, come on.
Yeah.
You can never be too careful.
No, you can't. Safety first and foremost.
Flammable flags in torrential rain.
No, you can't. That's very wise. Right. So, yeah, it's just a stupid decision. And they should get lambasted for it. And I think they have.
Also, most fans are quite one-eyed. So you don't want to poke the other one out.
Oh dear, oh God. I would like to know the name of the individual that actually made this, because sometimes ridicule is a very, very important tool, and it would be nice to know exactly the person, like John Evans, health and safety inspector at the rec, who made this actual decision. So there's some accountability to it. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it does. So Bath's Champions Cup campaign is a bit of a laughingstock already because of their request or their potential appeal to
God,
a rematch after the Toulouse game, because there were
unsafe flags, 10 seconds
left. Unsafe flags.
Yeah.
3 seconds left and he blew the final whistle.
Yeah, it's something like 10 or 12 seconds left and they blew the final whistle.
Yes.
Never mind the Freddie Burns, not mistake, obviously, but Freddie Burns incidents,
yes. Oh, and his interception. Oh, was it him, was it? It was Wilson. Through
this week's interception to Lama. It was young Englishman James Wilson.
Really felt for him.
I know.
Like, planted his feet, absolutely winged it. But it was very unclear where it was going.
It was turnover ball, and he must have just thought, right, let's get it wide as quick as we possibly can.
As you've been coached.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Get it wide, so I'll go for a quadruple miss pass. Yeah. 30-yard pass to no one in particular apart from Jordan Lama.
Oh, yeah, line speed. Always about line speed.
And work rate.
So, let's just talk about Bath a second. I know they're not that important this year.
Well, they definitely didn't wave a white flag on the field.
No. They are a funny team because they're actually really good. They just don't win many games.
Well, so my theory with Bath is they're actually really good when they break it down to a very simple, so in wet conditions, and they break it down to a very simple game plan. And their defensive line and the work rate of their pack, their set piece, all those kind of real basic simple things are outstanding, as good as anyone in the league or in Europe. What they struggle with is when the game opens up a bit wider, they seem to struggle with it, probably because they've perhaps not got all the personnel they'd want on the pitch, thinking of like Jonathan Joseph and Anthony Watson, for example, and their two first choice tens, Priestland and Freddie Burns. But yeah, I think their basics are as good as anyone. I think right now they're struggling, and you could see that in that close kind of arm wrestle game. They stayed in it right to the last minute. They got a point out of the game, losing bonus point, and it's only because Leinster are the best team in Europe.
Yep.
And they're made of the backbone and the best team in the Northern Hemisphere.
It does feel like they're in a process of sort of rebuilding, right when they should be in the process of rebuilding again. So what I mean by that is, this team feels like it's like year one of a brand new coaching setup. In reality, it's not. Blackadder's been there 3 years, but they've got Gervin Dempsey trying to do things. So you see, like, the basis of something good. But if they get really good at those basics, next year it's going to all change anyway, because I think Neil Hatley is coming back. Is Blackadder going? And then Hooper's...
Don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Blackadder signed... Yeah.
We don't know that yet. But
and the Stuart Lancaster rumours as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much... There's a lot of rumours flying around at the minute.
Well, we'll talk about them shortly.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumours, and you never know how much has got any substance behind it. The Michael Hooper... Am I getting all the names wrong? That's Michael Hooper.
Stuart Hooper.
Dear, what is up with me? It's been a long weekend.
At least Michael Hooper is a rugby player.
Yeah, that's true. Stuart McCall. Stuart Hooper was captain for Stuart Lancaster at Leeds Carnegie.
Oh, yeah. Nice little...
They like each other. And you can see how they would get on. Both very...
Serious.
Both very serious, very cerebral, very culture-oriented...
Oh, sounds like hell on earth. but yeah,
great men.
Can I just say, I mean, Leinster are the best team in Europe. They probably have the best back row options in the competition. Bath can't be far away. I mean, they've got Underhill and Lowe playing together. Just amazing.
Yeah,
because Hill is a proper seven. But Lowe is a proper seven, but he's big enough that he can play six as well. And they're both so powerful.
As he did at the weekend.
Yeah. And then what are you going to do with Faletau or Mercer?
And Mercer's still on the bench.
Looking at the players, again, when you talk about rumours, the players apparently coming to Bath are Mike Williams.
Big Mike Williams. I think he might go to Sale.
Mike Williams, apparently to Bath. Well, that's a rumour anyway, which doesn't make any sense.
I think he's very highly regarded in rugby circles over some reason.
No, I don't doubt it. That's no judgment on him as a player. It's... If there's a position they don't need anyone, it's a six.
Yeah, a six / second row.
Yeah.
He's got Yules that does that.
Garvey,
they've got
Ellis.
Stuke. Yeah, Ellis is very good at that.
Is it Stuke that does that from? Well, is Stuke even there?
Stuke more of a second
and they're
row.
And they're getting a load of props, apparently. Christian Judge, the guy on loan from Pirates at Saracens. Lewis Boyce.
But they do seem to...
And another tight end as well.
But they do seem to be incredibly careless with their players. Like, I can't remember the last time Bath went in the midst of an injury crisis. And they've got an enormous squad. So whatever they're doing, I mean, you know, you never see all the players in one go. It's kind of like just a smattering here or a smattering there for a very short amount of time.
Who knows, indeed.
But
that game demonstrates again how difficult away wins are to get, because Leinster had to really work hard for that and were quite lucky. At times.
Well, yeah.
It's certainly in the way they got their winning try.
Yeah, yeah. It was, if it wasn't for that intercept, it might have been a different game.
Have they lost a game this season?
Yeah, Toulouse away.
Toulouse, I thought so.
Yeah.
God, I'm liking Toulouse this season a lot. Well, I say Toulouse this season. I'm liking Cheslin Colby a lot this season.
And Jerome Kano.
Yes, very much Jerome Kano.
And Corey.
To Corey,
beast he is in the lot.
Well, I want to call him Gitto, but is Gitoon or
Gitoon? Gitoon?
He can shift.
Broadly speaking, I think French rugby has been in this weird wilderness. And when Toulon were winning European Cups, they were doing so without very many French players.
Mm.
And then the national team's just been an absolute horror show. And they've lost, just wherever you looked with French rugby, they'd lost their identity. And then last year you had La Rochelle. And then this year you've got Toulouse and... Who else is playing European Cup playing really well? Racing, yeah. What those teams have in common and what French sides seem to be getting back to a bit is, yes, they have massive men in their side, but they're playing really quick offloading support play. And when watching Toulouse at the Ricoh, they are amazing. They offload. I think they've in the first two rounds. I don't know what it's like now, but in the first two rounds, they had 14 more offloads than the next team.
Wow!
Like they had 37, and the next nearest was 23 in two games. And when you see them play, it's like it's ridiculous. Even in really bad conditions, they're like, "Yeah, let's play."
Yeah. Well, there are more French players involved now, because when Bernard Laporte became the president, of France or whatever he is.
FFR.
Yep. He mandated that you had to have a... you know, like the English clubs have got to have a certain amount of...
Yeah, like a quota.
Yeah, I think they've got something similar to that now for the first time. So there is that. And France have never actually struggled for talent. They've always had loads and loads of talent. Do you know what always gets me, though, about these French teams? Or, like, the random Southern Hemisphere guys that you see in there, and like you look them up, and they've got no real background. You know, Zach Holmes playing 10 for Toulouse.
Yep.
Who on earth is Zach Holmes?
Well, who was Cheslin Colby a year ago?
Yeah. And the league is full of these lads, and they're immense. So, yeah, that always gets me. But, yeah, there is more...
They've reconnected with that classic French identity, feels.
The teams that are doing well, Racing... Toulouse, and I will add to it, even though they're not in the Champions Cup, Clermont, who are, I think, second in the league at the moment.
I've not seen Clermont all season.
I was hanging out with Ben Durs yesterday. Did you see the mittens that he wore?
No.
So he came on as the guest, and he was good value, he was wearing these big Under Armour mittens, like no fingers in the gloves. Just it was like a. What you would wear when you're 5 years old to go out and throw snowballs with.
Nice! Why? He's a grown man.
Why not? He's Benders. He can do what he wants.
There's some interesting outfits.
And he wears some interesting outfits.
Oh, Ollie Woodburn.
Oh, my word.
I am a big, big Ollie Woodburn fan.
Tell me this.
He cannot do any wrong in my eyes.
Was Ugo furious about that? Because Ugo's probably the best dressed man on rugby TV, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he happens just to pull the short straw to be on the same shot as Ollie Woodburn.
He will not be making that mistake again.
No, he won't.
Stanley Park.
No.
Ollie Woodburn, if you haven't seen it, was in a fedora with... Yep.
Was it a fedora? Was it not a bit bigger than a fedora?
Well, possibly. I'm not sure. I'm not down with my...
You're not down with your hat, Slingle.
But it looked like a fedora to me with a beige roll neck sweater, black jacket, pocket square.
Camel.
Camel.
Like a sandy camel jacket.
Camel jacket, was it a black roll neck sweater? I don't know.
No, white roll neck sweater.
Wow, it gets better.
Black jeans or chinos and what looks like suede Chelsea boots from here. But
perfect.
Yeah.
He looked amazing. Put
and,
this
and black gloves as well. Hell of a look.
It is a.
Pulled off to perfection.
It really
yes.
Is.
Yeah, looked incredible.
And on the Exeter and the fashion front, because let's face it, they're that's not what you know Exeter for. You know them for some pretty horrible hairdos. and on that front, I'm expecting to hear that Blair Cowan is joining Exeter Chiefs because there's been a piece on the TV. I think it might be BBC Berkshire or whatever it is. There's a piece on the news where Blair Cowan has qualified as a barber.
Really?
Wow!
So he does all the boys' hair.
Wow.
So that's ripe to be taken down to Sandy Park.
Qualified as a barber? I mean, that sounds like a grueling course. nice. Where is Blair Cowan now?
London Irish.
Is he? Still. I thought he was going to move to Bath. Then he had a stint at Saracens.
Yeah, the Saracens stint to cover injuries, but that was only, it was like a loan deal, wasn't it?
Ah, right. Yeah, well, what about Exeter then? It's done, isn't it?
It is done.
Do you think Rob Baxter is... What makes this harder is, yes, it's disappointing anyway, but secondly, it's how vocal the noises were that Europe is the big focus.
Yeah.
Europe's our focus. It's all about doing well on that front as well. And it's been painful.
Yeah, maybe they've just lost
a bit. Two losses and a draw.
Correct.
Yeah, and they also lost to Harlequins in between that.
In the league.
So their first loss in the league.
They're currently residing bottom of group two or pool two on 3 points.
I guess it's
mathematically possible for them to qualify. They could still get 18 points, but doing so, they'd have to get a 5-point win away at Munster.
I think they can do that. I think they're in a good group to beat everyone. I think they actually can still go and beat everyone.
They're still not going to be top.
And then they go through second.
And they're probably not going to go through second.
If they got 3 5-point wins, they are not going to get 3 5-point wins. I don't think they can go to Munster.
I think they can. I absolutely think they can.
Especially not on this run of form. I think if they'd won those three games, they might be able to.
Yeah, well, it is unlikely. But we're sort of missing the bigger story here, which is not that they lost, but Gloucester won.
Yeah.
And they are looking seriously sharp now.
Yeah. They feel like such a nicely balanced team as well.
Yeah.
Because they've got this enormous... So the pack, which is for the last 5, maybe even 10 years, has been like this kind of...
laughingstock.
Obvious weakness in Gloucester.
Yeah, they kept signing agile second rows that were a little bit... Maybe weren't hard.
Yeah, Pete Gloucester was James Hudson anchoring them all and being dragged along, literally being dragged, like his body was fully on the floor, holding on someone else's maul as they trundled over. Like, oh, can't do that.
But they've got some gnarly, horrible, in a brilliant way, horrible guys.
Yeah, and
the back row that started, Morgan, Pelledri, Freddie Clark, they're all enormous and powerful and explosive. They're so good, but they're all relatively mobile as well.
And those two flankers, it highlights the depth. The two flankers are Freddie Clark was off the radar a year or two ago, and he's, 25, 26? So he's not like... Pelledri's obviously a star in the making.
Yeah, but even a couple of years ago, not really heard of him.
So for me, where I think you can see the improvement in Gloucester as well, are their backline options. So they've finally got 12 trees playing well. Well, he didn't even start here. I think this is one of the first sightings I've had of Owen Williams for about 12 months, which is interesting.
12.
Yeah, which is interesting that they decided to go with him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I quite like Mark Atkinson. You've got Trinder. You've got all these lads, all on rotation. And then Danny Cipriani just makes the whole thing sing.
Well, Willie Hines made a massive difference.
Cipriani and Willie Hines, those two... such good experienced operators who can bring the best out of that back line, and then getting young Ollie Thorley back.
Oh, how do we not talk about Ollie Thorley?
Ollie Thorley is on absolute sensational form. He is on Six Nations form.
It's a shame for Ollie Thorley that Eddie Jones doesn't care pick about on form. Doesn't pick on form.
He is on, but if he is not on Eddie Jones's radar, then I might jump on the JB bandwagon of saying
out
Eddie out.
Eddie
because
out,
Ollie Thorley is unplayable at the moment.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He's
absolutely amazing.
Unreal.
No, you're one of these guys.
He does everything. Because he's so fast, he's so powerful, he's steppy, he reads the game so well, his defence is good.
Right, but what I would always say is, you can't just say so-and-so should be picked.
Here we go, this was...
You've got to say, who do you drop?
Jack Noel.
Ashton.
Jack Noel, because he's injured.
Well...
Name me some England wingers.
Nathan Earl.
Drop that one.
Drop him. Yeah.
Next one.
Any of those three you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Noel, Ashton, Nathan Earl. I'd drop any of those for Ollie Thorley.
Name
right
another
now.
One.
Wow.
Name me another
England.
Johnny May. Drop him.
And the drop two, the drop two I wouldn't all. Drop are May and Thokonosiga.
I'd drop them both.
Are you gonna have any wingers playing?
Nope.
If we can get two Ollie Thorleys on the pitch, let's do that.
I tell you what. There'd be something rather sweet, wouldn't there, if Johnny May... I mean, I actually love Johnny May. I think Johnny May is amazing. But it would be quite sweet if Johnny May was the guy dropped for Ollie Thorley. Oh, no.
That really would be.
We could have got Ollie Thorley for nothing, but we gave up our club captain. And we're eighth in the league.
I don't know why, this is a bit of a tangent, but were you guys... Do you remember when Joan Lomu burst on the scene? Did your club start putting like flankers on the wing and stuff like that.
Yep. And not only that, every flanker that played on the wing, his nickname was Jonah Lomu. Come on, Lomu.
I remember at Newbury that happened. That's how I got...
Yeah, I played against Newbury when their number eight was playing opposite me. So I remember I played them early in the season.
I might have even played against you because I remember getting... I was coming through into the team where I was on... I remember getting extra games because they moved a back row onto the wing.
Yeah. I remember playing against a guy. I played early in the season down there when he was playing number eight, and then the next game he was playing on the wing opposite me. Yeah.
But Broughton Park had this enormous number eight who came from Chester. I can't remember his name now. Huge guy, and he played eight or wing. You know, in fact, I wonder. Probably Lomu's legacy is people like Banahan.
Yeah. Banahan still want.
Or I'm trying to think of another one now who actually does.
Nairavoro.
Yeah. They're just these massive lads.
Yeah, Nadolo, Surveyor, Thokonosiga.
Mm, yeah. I would drop Thokonosiga for Thorley at the moment.
But on that, isn't it great, as much as we're talking about Thokonosiga and all these guys, isn't it great that the Cheslin Colby is still relevant and brilliant. And Ollie Thorley, like you said, I mean, mind you, he's a tough.
He's big, isn't he?
He's a really balanced guy. He's
6'2". Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, he's not that big. He's not that big.
Not?
No, I'd have him down as like a 14 stone, 5'11 kind of winger.
He's listed as 6'1, 100 kg, so 15 and a
That's
half.
That's big for a winger.
Okay, sorry, Ollie.
It's all right.
He is powerful as well.
But it's that whole, because he can shift that fast, that 15 and a half stone becomes...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right about Colby, though, because Colby is just a different breed. So did you see one of his many runs? And he catches the ball. This is how you know he's so good. He catches the ball and he runs the opposite way to where you're taught to run. He goes backwards. He takes a step forwards, spins backwards, sort of goes sideways, and then goes forward again. Sort of like, what's the running back for the Detroit Lions? Barry Sanders style. It's he's remarkable. He's the closest thing to Shane Williams since Shane Williams.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let me change tangent.
Okay.
To, we've got one team that's doing fantastically well in Gloucester. And, that question. Oh, so shall I have a look at Twitter, see what our... See what our listeners said.
Is it Gloucester's year?
Is it Gloucester's year?
Oh, yes.
What percentage do you think people will have said?
So the options were this year, next year.
This year or next year. Because the joke being, it's always...
Next year.
Gloucester's year is always next year.
I think the Gloucester's year is next year.
I actually think that it is definitely next year.
We've been conned, haven't we, again by Gloucester?
Yeah.
Every year we get conned by
Although
Gloucester.
They could do it this year. I think they might be well placed for the league this year.
They could definitely finish in the top four. And then
I think they will finish top four.
They have no problem with Exeter. They have no problem with Saracens.
No problem with going to Exeter. Yeah. Which they've just shown. I think they would have a problem going to Saracens.
Yeah, Saracens in full Saracens mode would be difficult.
This is no 52-48. This is a 31% to 69% in favour of it's Gloucester's year next year.
Yeah, it is next year.
That does feel right.
Our audience, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They need to sign probably two more players.
But where, though? They've not got many
maybe another hooker?
Holes. Maybe.
Why not?
Yeah.
But they've got cover in every position. Like,
yeah, they've got good depth in every position.
Like we mentioned Woody Hines being great, and I think Woody Hines is great. But so is Ben Vellacott.
Yep.
So, anyway. And
so is Callum Brayley.
Oh, well. Yeah. So they beat Exeter next week, and they're pretty much through.
They'll be very well placed. Yeah.
Right, I want to play you something. I want to jump to a club that's not had a great time of it.
Okay. Oh, well, whilst you're doing that, let's just mention that my boys, in a town just outside of Venice, beat Harlequins.
In the Challenge Cup.
Yep. And also, I don't know if you noticed this, Sale put 50 points on Bordeaux.
Both the teams you support had a good weekend.
Well, I do support Treviso. There is no doubt about that.
And the general message is get to the quarterfinals and you get on telly. And other than that, be better.
Yep.
So you get in the Champions Cup. One side that are in the Champions Cup might have a struggle on their hands to make it again is Leicester Tigers. Have a listen to this from Manu Tuilagi speaking to Leicester Tigers TV.
As a club, and take this forward. For me, if you're not going to support us while we're down, I don't want to see you when we're winning.
What?
If you're not going to support us when we're down, I don't want to see you when we're winning.
Got to be careful with this sort of language, right? Because
well, no, I like it.
No, I don't actually. Because in terms of supporters, Leicester Tigers supporters are as good as they get. Now, they are demanding, but they are also still there. I mean, they're not supporting the team.
And they had good travelling support this weekend.
Yeah,
he was just referencing to give a little bit more context. He was saying, "Yeah, well, obviously it's easy to say we don't see or read what people say, but you know it's there and we do see it." So, I think the point being, he's saying is that it's been a hard time, and there is a bit of negativity around. And
yeah,
he was basically saying it's not like we're not trying our best, and if you can't support us now, don't bother.
Well, they got a very good, or they put in a very good performance in patches. this weekend.
In the dystopian speedball.
Oh, I love it. So
does it not feel... So having not been there, I can't comment properly. But does it not feel at times that the atmosphere is just flat because people are just like distracted with the screens?
No,
it feels like you should be given a remote control when you get there and you can control a player. Like playing a game of FIFA.
I think it's amazing. So people on Twitter, were whinging about,
on Twitter whinging, I won't have it.
I like my stadiums, without a roof or this, that and the other. And my answer to that would be, I don't want every stadium in the world to look like this, but I do want one of them to look like this. Yeah. And in the same way that I wouldn't want every stadium to be dug into a city centre and surrounded by Roman architecture like Bath's, but I do want one of them to be like that.
And if I want a stadium like that, then I want Finn Russell and Simon Zebo to be playing in it.
They were amazing. They were absolutely amazing. So, it just works. And if you listen to the commentary team today, Nick Mullins in particular was, I think, rather enamoured by the whole experience.
Because it wasn't freezing cold.
It's just that's a good point. It's all air-conditioned, allegedly. It's great. It's amazing. And the rugby that they play in there is also amazing. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
But Leicester played very well this weekend, and I was not expecting. So they got four tries.
Yep,
they scored four good tries.
Yep,
and they, despite having two yellow cards, they managed to hold Racing to 36 points. So it was a 10-point loss.
Doesn't it say absolutely everything? I agree with you.
They stuck at it.
But doesn't it say everything that people have been praising Leicester after they lose by 10 points in the European Cup?
It does. It is a turnaround, but then they lost by
30.
40. Yeah, they lost by 30 points to Bristol last weekend. Yeah. So it is a remarkable turnaround.
So actually, I think this game in some ways actually suited them quite nicely because I was looking at how it was unfolding. And Racing, I mean, I don't know how you coach that team. I simply don't. So half of their play is the nine
crack
gives...
up in the champagne and put the blazers on.
Exactly. It's like half of it is... The nine gives the ball to a forward who comes crashing into as close to the ruck as you can possibly get, and then they throw six different offloads.
Give it Nakarawa.
Yeah.
Give it Leone.
But they're amazing. And they're just, or Klassens or any of these lads, the ball's going everywhere. And I just don't know how that is coached. You do need a lot of talent in order to pull that off, and Leicester have a lot of talent. So I actually thought if it just breaks down into basically a 15-man game of sevens, Leicester are pretty well placed to do okay.
Well, you saw that from the Adam Thompson try at the end, which was so close to being a Racing try. It was one pass away from a Racing try, but George Ford intercepts. He goes 40 yards. He then kicks for the corner. Zebo just beats him to a foot race, but him and Thompson.
Yeah, that was very close. Oh, yeah, I mean, and then
that could have been 7 points in either direction.
Yeah, and there was loads of times when one team is on the front foot and then the ball is stripped. The amount of turnovers in this game, I've not seen the stats, but it felt like there was a lot.
There were definitely a lot.
But it was a 10-point loss. But I actually think Leicester were not really in it that much. I think it's a 10-point loss because Racing were kind of a little bit generous with their ball.
I'm going to make a slight interlude here.
Yes, please.
It's how many days till Christmas? It's 2 weeks on Tuesday.
Yeah, something like that.
My word, it's fast approaching. So, firstly, if you want a really really good deal on some free beer to get you through that festive period with your family, twitter.com/rugbypodcast. That's twitter.com/rugbypodcast. All the details there of how you can get some free beer. Just as a thank you for listening all this year, from our friends at Beer 52, they've got a great offer. Go and fill your boots. All the details are there. You just go to, it's beer52.com/egg. You can find out all the details, but you just pay postage, 8 free beers, fill your boots as a thank you. And also Cornerstone, who've been supporting us all this year again, helping us make sure the equipment in the rugby dungeon is working to a degree.
Yes, it's semi-serviceable.
Audio work. Anyway, yes. And what's more, 2 weeks from Christmas, perfect Christmas gift for... your family, or just treat yourself. You deserve it for the Works Christmas party. Get yourself a precision-engineered German razor, weighty aluminium shaft, stands up there on your bathroom shelf, engraved with your initials. You get the shaft for free. You get six beautiful razors that will do you a great job. in a presentation box, and you get that for less than the cost of a pint, £4. It's a no-brainer. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg 10 checkouts.
I'm going to mention...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And talk H.
Ooh.
I went to watch some mini rugby today. It was Broughton Park versus Talk H.
Okay.
Did we Talk H? The
JB Derby, they call that now.
Well, I'm not going to say which team it was because I don't want to shame anyone because that's not.
I'll shame them.
That's not what I'm trying to do here. But you need to have a word with, just generally, put the word out of Talk H that, about what rugby's about, because I've never seen this before. And I saw a dad walk onto the pitch and drag his son off it because he thought the referee wasn't protecting his son enough.
What? Now, in our defence, you've got to remember, we are the most achingly middle-class team maybe ever to play the game. Outside of London, certainly.
On the Didsbury High Street, there is a... Wait, is it Waitrose or is it M&S Food?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am... I'm staggered. One, I'm staggered. I'm absolutely gobsmacked that that's a thing. So he took his son off.
So he,
because he wasn't being protected. In what respect?
His son tried to tackle a player with the ball.
Okay.
Check. And then it was kind of a sort of Morley type thing. And one of the other team, the Broughton Park team, grabbed the guy that was trying to tackle his player and pulled him off, and the guy fell onto the floor. So kind of ragdolled him a little bit. It might have been naughty. What I said, I actually strolled over and just said to the guy, I actually said, you may be right, you may think that, and you may be right, but I don't think it's appropriate to be stood in front of a load of players saying that the referee is
absolutely
terrible.
Right.
I said I said, you may be right, but that's not rugby.
No, he's
that's,
wrong.
That's not what. Well, no,
he's wrong.
But that's not how you like fire and fire in that situation doesn't work, does it? So I said, you may have a point, you may be right, but that's not rugby values, and you need, and I don't think that's appropriate.
That is
and
awful.
They left. They walked off the pitch. So anyway, I'm sure this sort of thing happens all the time. But if it's a little,
I just
tiny,
can't, I mean,
if
I can't
it's a tiny sign that there are elements of this creeping into rugby, grassroots level is quite often a good place to see what.
Well, there is. Like, okay, so there has definitely been a change in the lower league games. I'll give you an example.
Oh yeah, how's it changing? Because me and Phil haven't played for years.
Several years.
So I'll give you an example, right? You will identify with this, but you know, we were doing a pitch inspection yesterday, and there were some lads saying, I can't play in this. Just like, it was just wet. It was just wet, and I think now the default position is to talk about health and safety or welfare or some such thing. I just think get on with it. I mean, the whole point of rugby is to get on with it. You very rarely in your mid-40s talk about the game where the pitch was perfect. You always talk about the game where it was either snowing or the ground is rock hard.
Yeah, freezing cold, miserable,
yeah, because that's the
rain.
Point in it. The whole point is it's meant to be miserable. You're not meant to enjoy the game. It's like drinking Negronis. You're not meant to enjoy them. You do it because it builds team spirit.
Or the pain is the enjoyment in and of itself. The challenge that you overcome.
Yeah, so I'm talking to someone
like those sour Negronis that Phil plied us with.
I mean, what is the point in playing this game if you're not going to be absolutely miserable for 80 minutes?
Do you remember that round on Friday night, the Fernet Brancas that I bought?
Oh, what's a Fernet
Oh, they were
Branca,
horrific.
It's like a...
I do remember them.
It's like an Italian herbal liqueur type thing. Very mentholy. It's like medicine.
Disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. But yeah, I'd do them again. Do them again. So yeah, as for maybe that kid shouldn't be playing rugby, and maybe his dad shouldn't be down at the rugby club. That's
on,
what I was
on that one, I heard. Can I name name? I think it's all right to. Well, no.
Well, this, I mean, this is what
if
the audience.
If you're worried about,
I mean, the
it,
audience.
Yeah.
I mean, the audience. I mean, I know you say that the audience don't want to hear me talk about sale sharks, but they do want to hear about under eights, Tock H, Broughton Park. So come on, let's really dig into it.
I was chatting with someone on Friday night after the Edinburgh game who was telling me that there was a very, very high profile international player in. I think this is all right to say. Hit pause.
Okay. Oh, right, so that was a little pause. So yeah, you can definitely say.
Phil's just said this was in an autobiography. So, and I think it's great anyway, and people will love it, and I'm sure the guy in question will love it. But the Wales team during the World Cup, when they got to the semi-finals and could have got to a final, one of the big reasons there was all the talk in the press was about Sam Warburton being teetotal.
Is he teetotal? Is that a thing? Is that true?
He Warburton was. So professional.
I mean, I can imagine he doesn't drink before training. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
And suddenly that got put into newspaper stories that the Wales team are teetotal. They 100% weren't, and a massive part of the camaraderie of that side is they used to have these, one particular player would organise these drinking clubs and would say, I'm going to be sat in this bar or this place at 5 this evening. Anyone wants to join me? More than welcome. And you would have these massive... drinking clubs,
team bonding
sessions, bonding,
yeah,
and that's credited. I think you said Martin Williams in his autobiography says as much.
Yeah, Martin Williams
a huge
definitely
part
mentioned
of
it.
The bonding of that side.
So I'm going to say something,
and I'm sure they had the what was the drink you had?
Fernet Brancas.
I'm sure they know their way around a Fernet Branca, that Welsh team.
Yeah, well, all I want to say is I know it's not the most trendy opinion, but drinking culture is important. Like, that's why everyone does it. That's why the armed forces, you know, go drinking. That's why rugby clubs go drinking, because it is important. Tock H, we have front row beers. So as soon as the game finishes, anyone that's played front row is immediately entitled to a front row beer, which is the most disgusting beer that I can find. Usually something like a Salty Kiss.
Ooh, delicious.
And that's a nice touch. Did you make that up? Did you invent that?
Yeah, so we started with front row beers.
I like that.
But it's now expanded to, there's Backline Wine. and there's another one as well, but I can't remember what it is, and they'll kill me for this. Back row something or other.
That's,
but yeah,
that certainly beats some of the ways that we were encouraged to drink beer at Broughton Park, JB.
Well, we said if we win the league this year, I'm going to put up, Joe, those like 60s optics that you used to have in pubs. We're going to put those up in our changing room.
Amazing.
Yeah,
love it.
A set of five optics.
How can I hint at what we had to do? Well, no, I didn't do it, but some players partook in it after a very, very hot, very, very sweaty end of season game.
Oh, I wasn't there for this one.
There was a particular way that the beer was administered into your mouth.
Yeah, down the back of a player.
Yeah.
And then however it would get from the back of the player, wherever gravity would take it, into your mouth.
I did not partake, but lots of people willingly did.
It's not an option, is it? It's not an option.
Yeah. You don't get a choice in the matter, normally.
No,
no you don't. No.
Is there any more actual rugby that we
need
to talk about?
Yes, lots. Yes.
Well, who?
Ulster.
Ulster.
Pride Ulsterman.
What an amazing and wholly unexpected result this was.
Well, not if you know anything about Will Addison.
Well... Will
you
Addison.
Were warned.
Will Addison. So that, Will Addison was sensational. Will Addison was man of the match. He was deserved man of the match. There were other players who could have got it. Hendo, Kurt Seer, Timoney, Rory Best. The whole pack stood up. Treadwell stood up well as well.
Mm.
But the back line. And the back line, so they didn't get a huge number of opportunities. But when they did... Stockers, Addison, Spate, Billy Burns, Cooney took them phenomenally well. And to get a bonus point win away at Scarlets is a hell of a result.
Do you know anything about John Cooney?
He was an Ulsterman, wasn't It was Leinster.
Leinster, then Connacht, then.
Well, you'll have to hold on, because I think I'm due to interview him in a few weeks.
Oh, really?
But I've heard some absolutely fascinating things about him. So, like, very good charitable deed things.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say, because if I've got it wrong, I'm going to sound like an absolute idiot. But yeah,
well,
he's a
That would be very much in the mould of Ruben Pienaar.
Community
minded.
But he sounds like an absolutely lovely guy.
So one thing I did see this week was, or maybe last week, so John Cooney does, there's some small, I think it's a Renault dealer or some small car dealer in Northern Ireland that sponsored him. And he does like his Monday skills school where he goes out in one of their cars and does like some kick-up challenge or crossbar challenge.
Does some donuts.
No, no.
Around the field.
It's like this cheesy...
Sorry, is it skills with a Z?
It is like that, yeah. This cheesy video of him taking one of their cars to the training pitch and then doing a little skills challenge.
Nice.
And Stockers, did a piss-take version of it. It is brilliant. You have to watch the two of them together, but it's worth... I think it's on Stocker's Instagram and Cooney's Instagram.
We will definitely have a look at that.
Definitely. The first bit where... So Cooney, as he's walking out of the showroom, shouts, "Keys!" and catches the keys and, like, struts out. And Stockers shouts, "Keys!" and they, like, hit him in the face, bounce off him, and just struts out.
Do you remember the one... There's a very similar one. So the NFL did a fantasy football advert.
Oh, yeah, where they had, like, guys catching it with blindfolds.
And yeah, and they're punching through walls and pick me. So then the All Blacks
did
one. All
Blacks did it, yeah.
And then the Australians did a piss take of the All Blacks one, which was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, that was really good.
So you must be pretty happy with this. You're
delighted.
Second
to Racing. With Scarlett's return game. And Scarlett's, who, again, they're in very much similar position to Exeter Chiefs. It's unlikely for them to go through. Mathematically possible, but very unlikely.
Yeah.
Mm. So, good position for Ulster. Just nothing guaranteed, but if they can continue this form, if get a win against Scarlets at home, then very well positioned to qualify. But this was a really, really good game, and it was... The forwards did very well. The defence was very, very good.
When they get their guys out on the field, which they haven't been able to do...
As consistently.
They're a dangerous team.
Yeah,
how many England-based rugby fans know the name Dan McFarland?
Not many. There'll be a few Scottish Glasgow fans will know him.
Yep.
A few Ulster fans now will know him, but yeah, not too many.
So an English coach that's doing starting to have an impact.
Is he English? I thought he was Scottish.
He's English.
No, he was coaching it. I'm sorry, is he a Yorkshireman?
No, I think he's like come from Oxfordshire, something like that.
Oh, right. Oh, good for him. It's just a shame, really, Scarlets find themselves as they are, because I think last year one of the more special games in the whole competition was Scarlets against La Rochelle. That was a great game. And also just felt like finally the Welsh are getting included again at high-level European rugby. It looks like we're going to have another year of that's not been the case.
Yeah. Yeah, and not a way that Wayne Pivac would have wanted to go out at Scarlets in Europe anyway. So.
No. Oh, and they've appointed their next coach.
Yeah,
Moore from Crusaders, whoever he is. I'm sure he's very, very good. Is he from Crusaders? He's from Canterbury.
I thought he was the assistant coach at Crusaders.
Don't know. Couldn't tell you for the life of me.
Now, you've come on this journey with us listening to the podcast, so I will say this as well. I've got a... Speaking of Ulster, I've got a debut on Friday.
Oh.
Presenting the Ulster v Scarlets game.
Right, so what is the difference? Right, what is the difference in roles between the presenter and what you do?
You only see my wrist, normally.
Yeah.
you can see what Sarah and Martin Bayfield and Craig Doyle.
Yeah, but they're not all doing the same thing, are they?
Are you doing the
Craig Doyle role, and then you have two guys with you, like two, like an ex, a player and an ex-player?
Yeah, there'll be a guest, at least a guest.
Who would you like your guest to be? Insightful?
I'm quite happy.
Me?
Stephen Ferris.
Ferris would be a good one, yeah.
Although I'd look really small next to him, so Andrew Trimble.
Trimble's not a small lad.
No, he's not small. He's a solid.
I'd go with
you were stood next to
Jerome Kano. Or, well, Cheslin Colby was in between.
Yeah, I made
you.
Sure I put Cheslin Colby between
you.
Me and Kano.
I'd go, so my perfect panel.
He's absolutely massive, Kano, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh my, he's frightening.
He's a phenomenal.
My perfect panel then would be Colby, it would be Faf, and Aaron Smith.
Shane Williams in there?
Yeah, Shane Williams.
Maggie Alfonsi.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, perfect. Ideal.
You can throw me on that panel if you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if that incites you to watch, it's a shame it's not going to be as much, because that looked like it could have been a, like Scarlett's, it could have been, that pool looked like it could have gone right down to the wire. But I mean, for Ulster it is.
Ulster, but I guess my concern is last season we were probably in a very similar position to this, three games in.
Yeah, that's true.
And we might have even been in a better position than this, three games in, and still conspired to blow it. So take nothing for granted, because it is a tough pool. And if Leicester have won one game, if they, which is, it's unlikely but it's not impossible, if they beat Racing, then all of a sudden the pool becomes much more competitive.
Yeah, and the problem with Leicester is they're rubbish, right?
That is a problem.
That is a problem,
right?
What do you really think?
But they're not rubbish. So what I mean by that is, when you're rubbish but you're full of good players, you can sometimes take it for granted that this team is just going to roll over.
But and they've got guys who can just score from anywhere.
Exactly.
Like the Thompson try, like the Tuilagi try.
Yeah. They're not really that rubbish is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, and if you give Johnny May any ball in any space.
Well, look at George Ford. I mean, even though they're getting battered, I still think George Ford's an immense player.
Yeah, hell of a player. I'd say one of my favourite bits of the whole weekend's worth of rugby, actually, was that Ellis Genge carry.
Yeah, it was so good.
When he'd been simbin for 10 minutes, like stewing, building up all this rage and anger. His first carry went through about five players.
It does
the
help.
The yak on that carry was amazing.
It does help when Manu's carrying you.
It does help.
I think I could run quite far if Manu was carrying me. do you want to talk about Leicester Tigers speculation?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Sorry, so, I'm just watching. Hold on 1 second. I'm just watching. Oh, final play of the game. Rugby passes. Miami Dolphins. Oh, are they going to do it?
Are you watching this live?
Oh, my word. A Miami miracle. Using rugby passes. Two backwards passes on the final play of the game. Miami Dolphins beat the New England Patriots.
Ah, is that what it was about? I've actually seen some tweets relating to this.
Miami miracle. It's a whoa. Anyway, rugby yeah. wins. Rugby
so,
wins again.
So can I just say about watching American football players trying to pass a ball like a rugby ball is almost as tragic as watching rugby players kick a football. Have you ever seen rugby players, particularly privately educated rugby players who came from, like, you know, I don't know, Millfield. If you ever see them try and play five-a-side, it's tragic.
Danny Kerr's good.
And Danny Cipriani.
Danny Cipriani's good.
Mm. And Mark Quato. But for the majority of them, props, people like that, it's just garbage. It's garbage. So Leicester Tigers speculation.
Leicester Tigers, yes. So,
Well,
the various rumours are, initially, early this week, it was Mike Ford.
I believe Mike Ford's still in the conversation, yes.
And then today, in the rugby paper, by the ever reliable...
Sorry, let's be clear. I tweeted it first. I tweeted it last night.
What, Paul Gustard?
Yes.
What, because Neil Fisler told you
last night? No.
So you got it from a different source?
Yeah.
Well, okay, all right, we'll get on to that. So, the ever reliable...
It'd be a pretty poor show, wouldn't it, if Neil Fisler told me his story and I went and tweeted it?
All right, fine. The ever reliable, never wrong Neil Fisler... in the rugby paper today said...
Whoa, hang on. The very rarely wrong Jonathan Beardmore yesterday tweeted. Start with that.
Okay. JB tweeted.
Thank you.
Paul Gustard is not going to Leicester Tigers. This is rubbish. I'm willing to put it on the board. If I had a board, I'd put it on the board. There is no way.
So here's how I understand it to be going, right? You've got.
There's going to be a meeting.
There's going to be a meeting tomorrow, right? There's going to be an emergency meeting. Basically, the two power blocks here are the players and then the management structure that Leicester have put in place. And the players allegedly want to bring in Mike Ford. And then it seems to be
I don't believe any of this.
Why?
I just don't.
I mean, Mike Ford is such an obvious one.
Oh no, no, and if that were the case, I would actually welcome him because.
I think Mike Ford would be a tremendous appointment.
His stock went down a bit, but actually, you look, actually, Bath in a semi-final, Bath in a Premiership final now looks pretty tidy and losing to Saracens. And England, you know, he's got England on his CV. He's a high-quality coach.
He's a great coach. He went to England, didn't he? This is what I find interesting about him. And actually, you'll hear him on the Rugby Dungeon next week. Right?
Mike Ford on the Rugby Dungeon.
Yeah.
Wow.
That says to me that it's not happening to Leicester.
Thanks, Tim.
Because he'd want to keep his powder very, very dry.
Well, he hasn't told me. He hasn't said, like,
the ink was dry.
Yeah, let's go for a chat and let me tell you all about the job that I don't have yet. He's not done that.
No, I didn't mean that disparagingly. I just meant if he was in the running and it was possible, he would be.
He's definitely in the running.
I think he'd be pulling right back from anything like that.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Yeah, so the interesting thing about him is he kind of made his name, didn't he, as a defence coach. But when I think about Mike Ford now, I think of just crazy attacking patterns and chaos and rugby league lines and all that sort of stuff.
And PowerPoint presentations.
And PowerPoint fantastic presentations. But isn't it amazing?
One fantastic offspring.
I mean, all roads lead to Burgess. But if Mike Ford goes to Leicester and then Lancaster goes, say, to Bath for the rest of the season... Where does Burgess go? I mean, it's going to be a straight fight.
Yeah.
I know where Carl Ferns doesn't go.
Yeah.
Leicester Tigers.
Not to Leicester Tigers, that's for sure. it's an interesting one. I think Mike Ford is a far better fit. I'm kind of with you on this, Tim, that the Gustard thing just seems it's just too far-fetched, surely.
So the way I'm reading it is Tigers trying to line up Gustard. There is nothing, because I think that is not impossible. I think there is absolutely no way that Gustard would go, simply because he's only been at Harlequins for 6 months. And what kind
it's
of
a bad look, isn't it?
It's a terrible look. If it doesn't go well at Leicester, if he did it and it didn't go well at Leicester, it's such a bad look to stick with someone for 6 months and then jump ship.
But
and
where's
in his
heart
first
at?
Job as DOR as well?
Well,
because he does love. Well, I don't say. I'm not sure if he loves the Tigers or not, but he is a Tigers guy,
right? When rumours like this come out, and I'm putting this on the BS pile, this is just, there's nothing, this is rubbish.
Okay.
I mean, I may well be wrong and look really stupid in weeks to come, months to come, but when you have rumours like this come out, the question I always think is, who stands to gain from this coming out? Because I don't think people get in touch with these people that release this news. I don't think people get in touch with them. Or you, maybe. I don't know. I don't think people get in touch with them out of the goodness of their heart. There's something that someone stands to gain somewhere from a bit of news being put out, whether it's true or false.
Well, maybe. But...
So who stands to gain from...
Well, I don't see who stands to gain. That's why... Because it's so outrageous. That's what makes me think it might be true. Because it's just such a shot in the dark.
As I say, it would not surprise me if Leicester would make inquiries about that alongside others, probably someone like Lancaster, someone like Mike Ford, and probably a few other Southern Hemisphere coaches. I just cannot see it happening.
Mike Ford, I can't get past the Mike Ford thing. It just makes too much sense. There's already two Fords there, you know.
The rule of three.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's good. And he can help develop Jordan Murphy. It'd be fine. It'd be good. So that's what I think Tigers should do. Whether they do it or not, I don't know. But the Gustard thing would be that'd be awesome. Just for the drama.
There would be some drama. Such a bad look. If he did it, they'd have to offer him mega, mega money.
Well, okay.
Even then.
So just with Leicester, wherever they are in the league, so on and so forth. Does this sort of confirm... Well, it confirms to me that Leicester Tigers are still the biggest club in England. If they could pull off taking Gustard from Harlequins, who are themselves no small club, right, that would confirm to me that although they're on a little bit of a downward slope at the moment, they are still the kings of England in terms of the size of that club.
Well, it wouldn't to me, because could you imagine someone like Saracens doing something like this?
That's a good point.
And they are they are the kings of England. No, they would be Saracens would be better organised and better run. And if, say, Mark McCall took the England job, I imagine they would probably promote from within and then bring some new players up to that table. So Sanderson would probably step up. They'd bring in some new talent that would do that lower level and develop everyone properly.
Sanderson is the lad that I think should be poached sooner rather than later by someone wanting a head coach DOR type. Maybe a head coach to start with.
If he wants it.
If he wants it, yeah. I'd have him. Definitely. I'd have him at Treviso. I think he'd work well at Sale.
He probably could work well at Sale.
Mm. That was interesting. We do have a little bit more rugby.
I could look very silly going so, but I think we're all sort of saying it smells. It just doesn't make sense. But
it doesn't make sense from Gustav's side at all. Not even close. The other games that we've not touched on. Munster had a very good win against Cast.
Mm-hmm.
They failed to get a bonus point, which they'll be disappointed at. It was 30 points to 5, and Cast only scored in the 81st minute. So it was all Munster, but they didn't get the bonus point. Saracens had a first half scare against Cardiff Blues.
Good game, this.
Thanks to a Blaine Scully try and a phenomenal Matthew Morgan try.
Yeah.
With a little bit of ropey tackling from...
From who?
Wigglesworth, Farrell... And good.
Okay. So
Cardiff got absolutely battered.
They did second half.
Second half.
I tell you what, I was watching this game first half, and I was like, it's Cardiff are a nightmare to play against. Like, they didn't... I mean, looking at their team, yeah, okay. So there are some lads there that play rugby. it isn't their best team, but you know, I guess you know, same goes for Saracens, not their best team either. But it's just in their blood. They play a very awkward style of rugby. They're all over the breakdown. They're an absolute nightmare. I imagine them being quite dangerous once they get everyone back. But yeah, first half fine, second half utter domination.
I think
Saracens just worked out what they needed to do, and those wide channels, Cardiff were non-existent.
The wind was a big part of it.
You think?
Yeah, it was, because Cardiff didn't kick in the second half, really. They were forced to sort of kind of run it out of their half and just battered.
Yeah. The other thing which I like about Saracens, for all the chat about them being, you know, boring and systematic, I mean, they go out there with three guys who can legitimately play 10 at Premiership level. And that's why it's so exciting. And I love watching Brad Barrett. I just love... He adds so much to that team. Well, to that back line and to that team. He should be with England.
He played very well.
He did, but he's just uncomplicated. You just go, and it also makes me think how insane it was to ever put a 13 on his back.
Yeah, he's not a 13.
He's not a 13, but he's just so solid.
They've got other guys who can play 13, like Lazowski, like Tompkins, who came on.
Yeah.
The boy who came on and made the biggest difference was Ben Earle.
Yeah, two tries almost
two
immediately.
Tries and
great mates is looking
holes.
Good, isn't he?
Yeah,
mates he is looking good.
Superb.
Yeah.
And they just—I look at that team and I just think they're missing a utility back. They're really, really struggling.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
They're missing someone that could play fullback, wing, or centre because they're just light in all those positions.
I did
put those rumours to Dai Young, whose response was, "If I responded to every rumour that there was, we'd miss kickoff."
Correct.
I asked him a couple of subsequent questions.
He was very miserable today.
Yesterday.
Not today, yesterday, sorry.
Oh, every time, well, both Dean Richards, who was not happy with EPCR.
Yeah.
Dai Young, who I'm sure would just love to talk about the game. With rugby, so lucky because these guys all come out front up, are really honest and amenable, and I've just got so much respect for Dai Young. I think he's a great guy, but he couldn't talk about these rumours, but he couldn't deny them either. So who knows? I mean,
so I'm just going to read this back line, okay? And I'm going to so actually 13 Alex Lazowski, 14 Maitland. 11 Lewington, 15 Good. Where would someone like Elliot Daly play? Who misses out?
Maitland or Lewington, probably. But then also Liam Williams has got to come into that line.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
But it's about rotation.
It is about rotation. But if you're in a final, you're going to pick your best guys.
Yeah, and Daly and Liam Williams on the wings makes that back line stronger.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
Just... Oh, my goodness. How do you...
Yeah. I like Maitland, though.
I do. Maitland is playing some good stuff.
But is it a...
Nominee for try of the year.
Marcelo Bosch, I imagine, might retire. He's coming towards the end of his career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is he there as an outside centre? That's my thinking.
Possibly. Yeah, and Alex Lalowski moves around a bit.
Well, because you've got Tompkins, actually, centre's one area where... And Duncan Taylor hasn't played. You might see
him.
So you've got Duncan Taylor...
Youngish Tompkins, who's probably not that young
Nick
anymore.
Nick Tompkins, who's a solid squad player.
23.
I think...
Still youngish.
If I was a club like Leicester Tigers, I would just think Nick Tompkins, there's a man to target.
Do you know who I would have targeted... if being Leicester Tigers or Sale or Treviso. Ollie Lawrence, before he signed that adult contract.
Yeah.
I'll have you, please.
Ollie Lawrence, he's going to be a good boy.
Mm.
By the way, Ollie Lawrence might get a bit more game time as well, because Ben Teo is in New Zealand resting.
Good, thank God
after
for that.
28 minutes playing for Worcester this season.
Ten grand a minute. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just... Part of me really resents that. Like, you need to play well for your club.
Especially when you are the premier, you are the marquee signing.
Do you think Alan Solomons has gone, actually, you're going to be a distraction, Ben, just go away? Because I don't understand the logic of it. Yes, so Alan Solomons' point was, he's only played half an hour of rugby and he's had two and a half games or whatever it was for England. So his body's going to be feeling that.
What?
But it just doesn't look good.
He's a professional athlete.
To New Zealand.
Goes to the other side of the planet.
You've been rehabbing, you've played half an hour, now you've played for England, go to New Zealand. I'd almost be going, come and hold tackle bags.
Yeah.
You don't have to play, but come and really muck in and help Ollie Lawrence.
Yeah. Talk to Ollie Lawrence about his running lines, his defensive positioning.
Do you know who wouldn't
that would be the
allow
sort
that?
Of the professional thing.
I mean, I just... From Worcester's point of view as well, they're not a club in profit. This guy is who they've got in Teo is very expensive. I just can't imagine letting him go away. It baffles me.
Got to really get your value.
Yeah, I mean, really.
I mean, cutting the pitches, I mean, painting lines, sweeping the changing rooms.
Obviously, the team that I see the most of, some of the training days and so forth, is Sale. And, like, just the thought of having a player like that not coming to training for whatever reason just wouldn't happen.
It's fine. And as I said, it's absolutely fine if Alan Summers... I'm not going to play him for a couple of weeks because he needs to...
Get ready for the Six Nations.
He needs to get ready for the Six Nations. But it's just an odd look. But, hey, what do I know? What do I know?
It is bloody bizarre. I wonder if England are reimbursing him for this. What if he's effectively England's only professional player? It feels something like that.
Full-time England contract.
Yeah. Anyway.
The other games that we've not touched on, Toulon, fairly comfortably in the end beat Montpellier, 38-28, but it was two very late Naguza tries, 78 and 80th minute, that made it more respectable.
Mm-hmm.
Glasgow had a very good win away at Lyon on the road, 42-22.
I've got to say, Lyon have really disappointed.
Yeah.
This year. I thought they were going to be a force, but not so much.
They're in a tough group, but...
They are, but they will be 42 points.
They will be disappointed. But Glasgow played very well, particularly young George Horn, the live wire scrum half. Mm. I really, really like him. Was there any Friday night games we not mentioned?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh Newcastle, which you were working at.
Took me ages to get away from Murrayfield. The roads are so clogged up after that game.
After how many thousand fans in a 70,000 seater stadium?
Apparently eight.
allegedly eight.
I've never been to Murrayfield before.
Never.
Have you not?
Two things. You've never seen the Hack Alive?
No. Nope.
You've still not seen the Hack Alive.
Not seen the Hack Alive.
Despite going to a New Zealand game. Not 2 weeks ago.
No, I hadn't been to Murrayfield, but I have now. And it looks like a good stadium. I can imagine it'd be good when it's full. But Edinburgh were good. They're impressive. And so did you see the EPCR kerfuffle?
I've seen that So Newcastle couldn't two tight head props.
They couldn't field any tight head props.
Any tight head props, okay.
So they had to play a loose head prop at tight head.
Okay.
And they had only two front row on the bench. So they had no fit tight heads. They had no fit tight heads who were registered in the European squad. Because in between the Tuesday 12 p.m. deadline and the match on Friday night, they had three injuries at front row in tight head prop.
EPCR did not allow them to register any players.
And Dean Richards' point was, it's not like I'm going out and getting a superstar. I'm putting in a guy from our academy who can play tight head. I thought you cared about health and safety.
Well, yeah, that's the question for me is, so I can understand the rules being there for a reason, but when does this actually become a health and safety issue?
Yeah.
And if you're forcing someone to play 80 minutes who doesn't have the experience necessarily and certainly doesn't have the stamina to be playing 80 minutes of rugby, when does it become a health and safety issue?
Equally, I can see EPCR's point of view where they change the rules for that, and then suddenly you can imagine a club going, Montpellier, sorry, what, you've got a lad, you got a, who's this young lad you want to bring in? Carl Heyman. Okay. So someone would, as with everything, rules get bent and to the point of breaking.
For me, I just don't understand why they didn't just let him get registered. It's just an academy lad. Why do we need this paper chase?
I know. You can do it with a clause, as in the player has to be, or you could even just have a general caveat in there. It's like,
anyone can play. Get him registered.
No, not anyone. You could have it where they say yes in principle, but everything is subject to scrutiny.
So you can
keep the integrity of the...
Yes. So Han, just so I know, what is the reasoning behind this? Is it because it's to avoid players being cup tied and that kind of thing? So you can only register for one squad or have limited... Why are they...
There's a... okay, so the European squad's 40 players or 41 players, something like that.
Okay.
And you have to name that, and you are allowed a certain number of interchanges throughout the whole campaign.
Right.
I think it might be three interchanges. Three times you can change players in and out, individual players. And that's all that there is. And then but you have to do that, any interchanges, by Tuesday, midday.
Why?
Before a game.
But yeah, that's... So the point around why, it will probably be to stop kind of what Tim was explaining before about the loan deals or the emergency signings, stuff.
Yeah, well,
it certainly in this situation, it feels like it was unnecessary.
It feels like greater minds could have prevailed here.
Yeah, if there was a chance to break the rules or bend the rules for a situation, this seems like one of them.
Exactly right.
And that pool is quite finely balanced now. Very finely balanced.
Very finely balanced, yeah. Yeah, because Edinburgh and Newcastle have now both won two games. Montpellier and Toulon have both won one. But feasibly, any of those teams could qualify.
Yeah.
If anyone goes on a three-game streak now, they'll top the group.
And it's probably not going to get a runner-up in that pool for that reason.
Unlikely, yeah, because you've got no one languishing at the bottom like a Scarlets or a Lyon or an Exeter Chiefs or a Wasps.
Right, next week's games,
can we, of course.
Can we do that and go home?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very briefly, we've had a few people asking us about a Tier 2 tour. So I just want to firstly, there is a very good reason why we haven't been able to make any hard and fast decisions on that. Partly the fixture list and partly...
Yeah. I am expecting a baby around then.
Well, your wife is.
Well, yes. We are expecting a baby.
So... Yeah, it's all pretty.
So anyway, obviously the rugby podcast competition is fierce at the minute, so we're having to grow our new talent, expand our own audience.
Yes,
but anyway, so it'd be interesting to know at Rugby Podcast, tweet us and tell us. So potential is Germany v Spain is on the Sunday after Super Saturday.
Is it nice?
Which I think Frankfurt is meant to be quite a good fun.
Is it? Is Frankfurt meant to be good fun? Isn't it an airport?
It's the third biggest city, and I don't know. Tell us, is Frankfurt a good night?
I'm sure we could find a good night in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Aren't there more and more bankers flooding to Frankfurt?
Oh, yeah, it's maybe very grey and dull. In fact, that's why the bankers aren't going to Frankfurt. It's too boring for bankers.
Anyway, so that's one possibility.
Okay.
The other one is in not the Rugby Europe Championship.
Yes, and I'm interested. Tier 3.
Navy Spain, Tier 3, basically. So the Rugby Europe Trophy on the Super Saturday weekend, Czech Republic v Netherlands. Netherlands are currently top of that.
I bet their lineup's awesome.
Is that in Prague?
In Prague.
Now that would interest me.
I'm
only
listening.
It's currently on the Saturday.
Same as Super Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm sure if we gave a call to the Czech Republic rugby authorities and said, hey, listen, we can put you on the map.
Yeah, big time.
Move it to Sunday.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
I really don't want to miss any rugby. I'd be happy just to go overseas and watch Super Saturday without going to a game, but that kind of isn't the spirit of it, is it?
No.
Do you know, I'm still mentally drained from our last trip. I think I never want to go away, and I would never want to do that ever again.
Oh, but it's such good fun.
It was
so much fun.
Meeting all the amazing listeners.
Holland v Portugal on the 9th of March is another one. Portugal v Poland in February, but that's during a rest week. I like. It has to be,
yeah.
The Super Saturday is so good. Like, having it on the Sunday after a Super Saturday is so good, which is why Germany-Spain...
Is the front runner, isn't it?
The front runner, yeah. So that would be the weekend of the 16th, 17th of March.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to Spain. Shame it doesn't work out in the way I hope.
Spain v Romania is on a rest week as well.
I might just go to that anyway.
That'll be spicy.
3rd of March. We could just have a little splinter tour to Madrid.
Get some cheap flights to Madrid.
Oh, do you know what? I might just go to that anyway because that's dynamite. And Madrid's ace.
It'll be spicy.
Yeah.
It'll be so spicy.
See, this is why, right? I know I said it before, but this is why you keep your competitions intact, because this is the history that you need to build in order to, you really need some bad blood in there. And this is perfect.
Well, Spain v Romania is going to be spicy. No doubt.
If they can get that one on the Sunday, that's what we should do.
On Sunday. Oh. But it's in a rest week, I think.
Rest week.
Or is it? Yeah, no, it is. 3rd of March, there's no Six Nations games.
Is there not? Oh, yeah, and Six Nations has got a new sponsor. We forgot to mention that.
Yes, at an incredible loss. They stated the Six Nations they would not like. Like RBS had a huge deal with them before, and then they said no, we will not accept less than £15 million or something they were looking for. They've ended up having to go to Guinness for £6 million. They've lost a lot of money.
But am I right thinking it increases every year until it exceeds the amounts? Which RBS were paying.
I don't think so.
I think it does. I think it increases year on year. So the first year is lower, but why even structure it in that way?
Guinness
and Heineken, do you reckon they just have like a slush fund knocking around of a reasonable amount of money to give rugby for when it fails to attract the sponsor that it threatens to attract?
Yes.
Then they come back with their tails between their legs. Actually, we will have that £6 million.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened with the Champions Cup, isn't it?
Oh, £6 million. Sorry, it's £5 million. That's kind of how this feels. It goes. BA are doing a lot of rugby sponsorships now as well. I don't know if you noticed that.
BA.
Yeah, it's all over Twickenham, like the BA lounge, and
okay.
I think BA might even be painting BA on the top of the stadium, so you can see it when you fly in.
Nice.
Hmm.
Exciting stuff.
Love that. Right, games.
Games.
Let's go, Phil.
So they're obviously repeats of this weekend's, just with the reverse.
Obviously.
So we'll go through pool by pool. Starting in pool one, we've got on Saturday at 3:15, Toulouse hosting Wasps.
Toulouse,
who are currently top of the group.
100%.
Wasps, who are bottom of the group. So that looks like it's going to be a home win. And at 5:30 on Saturday, Leinster hosting Bath.
I think Bath could be competitive.
They'll be competitive.
Leinster going to win.
Leinster at home.
And I think Leinster will be targeting 5 points.
5 points.
Yes.
Bath, I'm sure, will show a decent account of themselves, but yeah, 5 points.
Which would put Toulouse and Leinster in prime spots for both qualifying out of that group.
Yeah, and that game at, I don't know whether it's the Aviva or the RDS, but that's going to be tasty.
Agreed.
Hell of a game. Is that last game or fifth game? It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Last game is Leinster Wasps.
Oh, yeah, because that kicked off the tournament, didn't
it?
Ooh,
that went well.
It'll be Wasps Leinster, but yeah, anyway.
Pool 2.
Friday night game, Friday night lights, 7:45. We've got Gloucester hosting Exeter Chiefs, which
Gloucester. Give me Gloucester. I'm sold. I'm on board.
So Exeter will have a point to prove,
big time.
Even though they look all but out. It is still mathematically possible, but they look all but out.
They've just been, well, they got out-muscled this week.
Out-muscled and outplayed.
Yeah.
If Ollie Woodburn goes for a proper 10-gallon hat, they're next to win.
Yes, that's a good shout.
If he doesn't, then if he just wears a beanie or something, then they're losing.
No chance.
So Danny Cipriani wins a Premiership this year and the European Cup in Gloucester colours.
And then a World Cup.
And then doesn't get in the World Cup squad. it will just be the worst thing ever. I mean, just incredibly incompetent.
But Sippers last year and Sippers this year, what he's got in common is, I mean, he's excellent anyway, but...
Better coaching?
Really good scrum half and really intelligent rugby brain 12s. And
yeah,
that
yeah.
is the perfect armchair for Sippers to sit in. And you look at how difficult George Ford's having it with anyone... You know, a multitude of different people outside him at 12,
and then
Ben Young's got rested, quote unquote.
Yeah, so it works really well for them because these 12s that they have, Williams or Atkinson or
12 trees,
whoever it is, they're almost always the first receiver from set piece, and then Sippers does his magic the next one
round the back.
He's ready, yeah. And they've got really good scrum half, so quick and there, yeah. Just in out ball gone. So yeah. I like it. So who's at King's Home? You'd have to say yeah. Gloucester.
My money's on Gloucester.
Gloucester. They're going to get battered now. that is
also possible.
If they're serious about winning something this year, they've got to win this game.
Yeah.
And if they do, they'll be all right. They'll do fine.
The other game in that pool, Cast versus Munster. In Cast. Cast, they've won one game. It does look unlikely that they'll qualify. Again, not impossible, but unlikely. So I think Munster will be up for this.
Cast will be up for it at home. And we talk about coaches. One coach who should start getting mentioned, not necessarily with a DOR job, but should start getting mentioned, is Joel Abd. What an amazing job he's done at Cast.
Because he's your mate.
Yeah, but he's still done a brilliant job.
Yeah. He's a champion.
I always reference it, but their win last year against Montpellier in the final was amazing.
Yeah, it was. It was
a hell of a win.
Did they win it a couple of years ago as well?
In fact, won it about 3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
In fact,
the Scottish
struggling
players.
English club, break the bank, making me defence coach, get Joel Abd in.
Well, there's a lot of English coaches knocking about France. I mean, they escaped my...
Joe Worsley.
Joe Worsley's
there
one.
There was Rory Teague, not anymore.
I'm sure there's one in Lyon as well. But yeah, you know, English coaches are quite highly regarded in France. It's just a shame they're not that highly regarded in England.
There you go. So if Mark McCall gets the England job, Alex Anderson, Joel Abd, defence coach, sorted, carries on.
Nice. Nice. That's a Saracens thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, Pool 3. 2 1:00 kickoffs on Saturday in Pool 3. We've got Cardiff Blues hosting Saracens, which will be a Saracens win. And Glasgow hosting Lyon, which will be a Glasgow win. We've not mentioned the Itoji news.
What is the Itoji news?
Kneecap.
Yeah. So he chipped his kneecap before the Autumn Internationals.
Okay.
Training in Portugal, I think it was. but it was never looked into. He said he was fine, played on, and then since coming back to Saracens...
Was it karate or kung fu or what was it?
Yeah, it might have been. Some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So since coming back to Saracens, he's had a scan. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. But he will be back in time for the Six Nations.
Good, because England need him.
They do. So that's Pool 3, done and dusted, Saracens and Glasgow, which sets those two up very nicely. That's another pool where you've got two who are both vying, both likely to get, both qualify in Saracens and Glasgow.
Yes.
Pool 4... So we've got one game on Friday night, which is my beloved Ulsterman.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Hosting Scarlets. Very jealous. I hope they do it again. I hope they repeat it. It would be such an Ulster thing to do.
Is this going to be a bigger game for Ulster or for Tim Cocker?
Well, big game for Tim Cocker.
Big game for Mac Lowry.
Mike Lowry. Yeah,
right. There's another one of the little men who's doing it.
Are you going to... Can you crack that joke on screen, please?
Yeah. It's quite a niche joke to crack, it isn't it? You'd have to have watched Bad Boys, know the reference, and then... Yeah.
It's unlikely Mike Lowry will be playing. That back line was on fire.
It was on fire. I'll give Will Addison your best, though, JB.
Yeah.
Can you give Jacob Stockdale my best, please?
Yes. Although, in both cases, that probably means I have...
Tell Will that I still talk about him.
Yeah, I will. He'll know.
So what are you saying? I'm going for an Ulster win.
Pride.
It would be such an Ulster thing to lose this.
It would be peak Ulster.
And also, Scots are really good.
Scots are really good.
You've got to remember that. They're not exactly mugs, aren't they?
They'll be hurting.
Yeah.
But Ulster, go.
And then the other game in Pool 4, Leicester Tigers host Racing 92.
I don't know.
It's got to be Racing. So Leicester, they will have some more amazing European nights, but Racing, along with Saracens, are the only two unbeaten teams.
And
and Toulouse.
I mean, obviously, Leicester, will have adjusted to the Paul Gustard Mike Ford system in the next 3 days, and they'll be fine. They'll rip it up.
It was interesting to see Leicester. So they had two men yellow carded, and we spoke about this briefly last week. But it actually looked like they had been doing some training for the yellow card. They'd been prepared for the yellow card position.
Yeah.
So they didn't concede too badly in that position, but then the kind of game took its toll on them.
Big time. Oh, can we get rid of the myth of French teams being unfit? Because, I mean, Racing did run out of steam towards the end, but to even get to that point, it was bloody impressive.
Yeah, they were impressive.
French teams are fit, is what I'm saying.
Not all French teams are fit. The best French teams are fit and well-conditioned. Mm. Not all are.
Most are.
Maybe most are.
Most are. So Racing for me.
We all saying Racing?
Yeah.
And then Pool 5, so Montpellier hosts Toulon, which is the bottom half of Pool 5. Montpellier at home, because Newcastle Falcons and Edinburgh, who've both won 2 out of 3 games, they play
Newcastle. They're going to win that.
Do you reckon?
They'll have their big guns back, yeah.
So they took the opportunity to rest their players, freshen up the squad.
I don't get that for the life of me. So did they actually rest, lads? Is that what... They said?
Mark Wilson, they've got a lot of injuries, a hell of a lot of injuries, but they rested players in key positions. Toby Flood didn't come off the bench, he was on the bench. Same with the scrum half, same with, Sinotti and Gonover weren't even in the match day squad.
How did Brett Cannon go?
Hammersley wasn't in the squad.
They
did all right, they competed really well. And you've got to remember, they did a similar thing going to Toulon and winning. It wasn't the first choice team there.
I guess you've got to have ability throughout the squad, and there's no point in accumulating these players if you're not going to trust them.
Yeah, so. And I think Newcastle will win that. Be tasty
though. It's a tough one.
Edinburgh got a good team, really good pack.
Yeah, Cocker's has worked his magic there, hasn't he?
He really has.
His stock, he was falling so far at Leicester Tigers, and his stock has just risen since he moved there.
I wonder if there's a Leicester Tigers fan out there now who really doesn't regret how it all unfolded. I mean, the major Cockers thing, maybe they'd have been best just keeping it.
But they were not doing well.
Or keep one of them.
Yeah. Can't help but think keeping one of them would have been a better option than where they are right now.
Yeah. They should have kept one of them. What a mess.
There you go.
There we go.
Sorry if we've not mentioned the Challenge Cup.
We have. Treviso. Yeah, Treviso won.
And we said the fixtures. The catch-all caveat, be better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, always true.
Right, nice one. Get yourself a Cornerstone Razor, get onto our Twitter account and get yourself some free beer.
Tasty beer.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Stop.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.